Please be seated. Oh, how great is our God. How great is our God. We should be able to sing that in our sleep. We should be able to sing that wherever we go. How great is our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to place all things of this world outside these walls and drive us to your feet to desperately glean from your word what you would have us to know. Please make what we learn change our hearts and our hands. Mold us by your word into Christ-likeness. However many days you allow us, Lord, cause us to live each day, hour, minute, and second for your glory alone. Make full use of us in your kingdom's work. I pray all this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. This world is in a mess of hurt. Our nation is in the toilet. How quickly mankind has turned to bold-faced immorality, perversion, and godlessness. Mankind is far from God, lost, and looking in the wrong places to get found. Lost is too gentle a term. Let's call lost mankind what it really is: heinous, depraved, evil, perverted. Mankind from birth is separated from God, godless. Is there hope? Is there a solution to mankind's horrific condition? There is hope. A two-part need is needed. The first need is that every individual, man, woman, and child, needs Jesus Christ. The heinous need to be holy. The depraved need to be delivered. The separated need to be saved. Mankind needs the gospel preached that they might be redeemed from their godlessness. The second need is that society, the culture, the world needs to encounter a strong, healthy, unified, fully functioning church, standing, laboring, and testifying boldly for Jesus Christ and the truths found in Scripture. The church needs to prove to the world that we have found what they seek. This morning, my hope is to urge each one of us to jump headlong into our ministries, to fulfill those two needs. Why do I say our ministries? Who are we talking about here? Every single Christian. You specifically, and I specifically, are called to ministry. In fact, we are called to two ministries, and we are called by Christ to obey our call to our ministries. I know what you're going to say. I'm not a minister. Jay's a minister. He's a pastor. The missionary in the Congo, he's a missionary. He's a minister. I am not a minister. I am laity. The clergy are the ministers. I go to work to support the clergy. But what does God say? He says that all believers are called to two ministries, their ministry outside the church and their ministry inside the church. I will clarify my meaning in a bit. Not only must we obey our call to ministries, but we must obey that call now. Our time is short. Christ may return at any moment. The preachers of the gospel, you and I, have only now to proclaim the good news. The world has only now to see a real church living the truth in Jesus Christ. Now, today. We no longer have the luxury to sit and sour in our seats in church week after week. Listen to Paul stress the urgency of living in obedience now in Romans 13:11-12. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That is the Apostle Paul's wake-up call to the church. Every moment that passes brings Christ's return ever closer. How are we to redeem the time? Wake up! Awake out of sleep, he pleads, and he underscores both the urgency of this command and the imminency of Christ's return with four phrases: the hour has come, Our salvation is nearer. The night is far gone, and the day is at hand. The time to obey is now. And since there is no guarantee of any more time, it is unconscionable to defer our obedience any longer. Okay, so if we are all called to ministry, prove it. Where in the Bible does it say that all of us are called to ministry? Well, none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, has made that call. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we call this passage the Great Commission. And it is my focal passage this morning. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The first part of this commission points to our ministry outside the church. And the second part of this commission points to our ministry inside the church. Let's look now at the two ministries of all believers. Ministry number one, the universal ministry, the ministry outside the church. I say universal because each and every individual believer is called to this specific ministry. And I say it is ministry outside the church because this ministry primarily takes place out there, outside the walls of the church building, in the world we each find ourselves day by day, moment by moment, in between Sunday services. There are no exceptions. Every single believer is commissioned by Jesus to this specific ministry. And here it is. Verse 19. Go therefore. Oh, let's wait. Stop. Let's stop right there. This could also be stated, therefore go. And as Pastor Jay often reminds us, we need to know why in Scripture a therefore is there for. Why is it? Well, look at the preceding verse, 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Since Jesus has all authority over all creation and over us, his bought and paid for bond slaves, he alone has the right and position to issue this order to us, to go in his authority, to go in his name. So here is our call to ministry. In Christ's authority, go. Go where and do what? Well, let's continue. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here is ministry number one, spelled out for us by the Lord Jesus. Go make disciples of all humanity and baptize in the name of the triune God. Our universal ministry is to be used by God in the mission of saving humanity. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's what a disciple of Christ is, a saved person. But how are we used of God to save humanity? I mean, after all, we can baptize them, but we can't save them. We cannot turn them into disciples. So what does our obedience in performing ministry number one look like? Just what is our role, duty, and task as we obey the call to go? Now, please hear this very, very clearly. We never save anybody. That is out of our realm of possibility. How ludicrous is the thought that we mere mortals can raise the dead? It's laughable. Only God Almighty can and does raise the dead. The salvation of the helpless spiritually dead is totally in the control of God the Holy Spirit. As John 1, 12 through 13, all of John chapter 3, Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, and Colossians 2, 13 tell us. But, wonder of wonders, God has decreed that we work in tandem with He, God the Holy Spirit, in bringing the lost to salvation by our preaching the gospel, the good news of all that Christ has done on our behalf. This is ministry number one that all believers must be actively obeying. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone all the time. God decrees that the gospel preached precedes the Spirit's regeneration in the salvation of the lost sinner. We read in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So salvation for the lost person begins with us preaching the gospel to him or her. This is further shown in Romans 10:13-15. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." We see ourselves and the lost in these verses. The lost are those who need to hear and believe. We are the ones sent to preach. We are the ones told to go and preach the gospel. Well, again, to whom is this ministry number one given? Only to those that were present that day? To those within the hearing range of Jesus' voice? Only to the apostles, the clergy of that day? No. If that were the case, after all those present grew old and died, the commission to go and make disciples would have died along with them. No, this ministry call is for every single believer, you and me. Here is our call. This is ministry number one for each one of us. So there is a work done by the believer, which needs to be done by the believer. Preach the gospel to everyone everywhere. And there is the following work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate, to raise from the dead, to impart the new birth unto the lost sinner, to reveal Jesus in all his glory to the now seeing newborn, and to draw the newborn in just now given saving faith to Jesus Christ. Two works. We preach, the Holy Spirit saves. Two works working together, cooperating in the task of the salvation of mankind. Two works on one mission, a cooperative mission, a co-mission. The great commission. Yes, I misspell commission, but considering it in this way stuns me. I mean, this is serious. This stuns me to the core and compels me to enter the fray of the great co-mission with God to bring the lost to Jesus. Does that thrill and jazz anybody like it thrills and jazzes me? God wants us to partner with him in this amazing mission. Wow. This is awe-inspiring. This is jaw-dropping. This is goosebump territory. This leads into the application, the so what of our ministry number one. So what is the so what of our universal ministry number one? Well, therefore, go. Go and tell the gospel to every man, woman, and child. Now, the time is short. You will get only one chance with everyone you cross paths with. Have you ever thought of that? One chance with everyone you cross paths with. And you may only get one more chance with those you know and love. Go, tell, love the lost as God Almighty loves the lost. And by the way, go into all the world. All the world? I can't do that. Granted, you and I cannot go into all the earth, but we can and must go into all of our world. Where you live, where we conduct our daily lives, your world of influence. And your world of influence is different than my world of influence, and different than the next guy's world of influence, and the next, and the next, and the next. So, as we all come into contact with different people, so between all of us, the gospel goes forth to the world. Do you really think it was not decreed from before time began that you live where you live, work where you work, have the family members that you have, shop where you shop, and go on vacation where you go on vacation? You are where you are and with whomever you are with every second of your life by the sovereign will of God for the purpose of answering your ministry call to preach the gospel right then and there. Go now. Preach Jesus. Why obey the call to preach the gospel? Jesus has told us to do so. We just read that. And we love Jesus, right? we do love Jesus, right? John 14:23. If anyone loves me, here's how we love him. He will keep my word. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Why do we obey anything found in Scripture? Because we love the author of Scripture. We love Jesus. I sure hope we do. And we love Jesus by obeying him. Why obey the call to preach the gospel? Because the lost are going to hell. And we love the lost. We do not wish that they suffer for eternity, right? We love them. I sure hope we do. Another takeaway, you can do this. Yes, it can be scary. We might be ridiculed and scorned. If so, praise God, we are found worthy to be afflicted for his name's sake. Be more fearful of that lost person's eternal state if he or she dies without Jesus than be fearful of their opinion of you. Can we do this in our own power? No. Can we do this alone? No, but we do not go in our own power, nor do we go alone. Remember Jesus' words at the beginning of the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And remember his words at the end of the Great Commission. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The authority of God Almighty is empowering your gospel preaching. And Jesus is right there with you while you are preaching it. No more assurance is needed. Jesus provides all we need to obey this ministry call to spread the gospel. Furthermore, realistically speaking, you can preach the gospel. A newborn babe in Christ, just 10 seconds old in the Lord, can do this. Why? Because anyone can be a witness in a courtroom. A witness only tells what he or she knows, has seen, has heard, has experienced. A witness does not argue, connive, trick, or twist words. That's what the lawyers do. Not the witness. Nor does a witness judge or pass verdicts. A witness just testifies to what is known and leaves the verdict up to the judge. That's us. We are a witness. So, what do you know? Even if you are 10 seconds old in the Lord, you do know this. I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. I was without hope in the world, but now I have hope and joy everlasting. And this can be true of you also. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Can you say what I just said? Yeah, you can say that. You can do this. Through Christ. Through Christ. My last takeaway, why we must obey this call. Because we are the watchmen for the lost. Ezekiel 33:6 tells us, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We do see the sword coming for the lost, an eternity in hell, paying the wages for their own sin. If we do not blow the trumpet, preach the gospel to them, their blood is required at our hands. Do not fear man. Love man. Love overcomes fear. At the beginning of this message, I said, the world is toast. The answer, the hope for mankind, is every person being saved. You and I have a co-mission with the Holy Spirit to work toward that end. And of course, there are some of you right here that are obeying this ministry call. And God is glorified by your obedience. To you I say, do not grow weary, but persevere in the co-mission. To the rest of us I urge, obey the call of Christ to go and share the gospel. Join in the co-mission. The lost need Jesus. Ministry number two. The unique ministry, the ministry inside the church. Whereas ministry number one, the preaching of the gospel, is the exact same ministry that every believer must carry out in obedience. Our ministry number two is unique to each of us. But each and every believer does have a unique ministry. Also, whereas our first ministry of preaching the gospel is for the most part out there, in the world beyond church walls, our second ministry is reserved for inside the church walls, a ministry for one another, a ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. And again, there are no exceptions. All believers are called to ministry number two. Now, I can't tell you what your unique ministry is by name. God assigns this to us individually. Further, there could be more than one unique ministry that God calls you to obey. Further still, over the course of your Christian life, God may swap out your in-house ministry for a different one or different ones. What am I talking about? Recall my early statement that the world at large needs to see Christ manifested fully, to see that we have what they need. This is where ministry number two plays its part. We can see the second half of the Great Commission point to this in-house ministry number two. After admonishing us to make disciples and baptize them, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. At first, this may not be apparent, but this latter instruction involves all things internal to the church, his body. Jesus says, teaching them. Teaching covers the gambit of church life for the believer. Growing in the Lord, preaching the word, strengthening one another, bearing each other's burdens, reaching out to hurting and weak members, holding fast to the truth. In short, building the church from the inside to be the strong, healthy, united, complete, and uncompromising, tried and true body of Christ, as God demands and as the world desperately needs us to be, as it searches for truth and hope and purpose. On the whole, the body of Christ, his church today, is not strong and healthy, but rather is dysfunctional, compromised, anemic, and diseased. If the church even is composed of believers, many are content to sit and sour in their seats. Many are not harvesters going forth to the harvest. Many are observers and cheerleaders, but are not out on the track running the race. Each member of the body has a role to play and must be playing that role for the church to be what God demands of it and the world needs it to be in this dark time. Recall the kid's message and how messed up a person's health would get if the toothbrush will not perform its task correctly, or if it insists on performing the spoon's task, or if it is content to stay in its original package and just sit nice and pretty on the bathroom shelf. Just so, the church needs every member to perform their specific, unique ministry task to the fullest, never being content to be an onlooker for the duration of their Christian life. The church must be fully functional, strong, and healthy. To do this, all the body parts must be doing their job. This is a second wake-up call. For such a time as this, the world is in the dumpster. This is the time when the world needs to see the real Church of Christ, complete and healthy and strong and uncompromising in the truth of his word. Why? Why is this needed? Jesus bodily ascended to heaven almost 2,000 years ago. He does not walk physically upon this earth. So how is the world going to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Through his body. Us. Jesus lives in his body, the church, and Jesus is manifested to the world through his body. Us. We are here to show our communities what Jesus is really like. The church is the visible part of the invisible Jesus. Is the fullness of Christ rightly manifested by us, his church? When the world looks at us, does the world get the full and correct picture of Jesus? That's my plea. All of us performing our specific ministry in the body so that Christ is truly and honorably manifested for all the world to see. Go to God in all earnestness, pleading with him to reveal your specific ministry to in the body of Christ to you. Then be all you can be in that ministry. You are somebody in the body. And the body is incomplete without you. Let's look at a few verses about obeying our specific ministry call within Christ's church body. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In the Greek, spiritual worship literally means your logical ministry. God logically assigns each of us a ministry to fulfill and complete his body. And we see here it is referred to as a sacrifice. Our service to God and his body is a sacrifice offered to Jesus. Make your ministry efforts as spotless and blameless and pure as the sacrifices of old. To sacrificially obey is to love God. When we all do so, we manifest Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This sums up our unique ministry calling. The body is not one part. The body is a complex compilation of many different parts. Yes, Pastor Jay's ministry here is extremely important, huge, and very visible. But there are a myriad of ministries, most not visible at all, that need to be unceasingly carried out in order for this body to be complete and whole. And by the way, Pastor Jay is not called to do your ministry. You are. This is why it is vital for you to step up and obey the calling to your specific, unique ministry in the body of Christ for the common good of this body, for the health and the strength of the body, to manifest Christ to the world. Romans 15, 5-6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church is to give Jesus Christ glory and honor, and to make him known to our neighbors and to the world, and to move believers in him to maturity and ministry. The church exists to help you grow in Christ so that you will serve. You have been saved to serve. And as we all obediently fulfill our special ministry, Christ will be manifested in all his glory to the world. Listen as Jesus prays for us in John 17:22. The glory that you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. God wants unity in his church. God wants you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Unity is the delight of the saved and the dread of Satan. There's nothing more glorious than to be part of a church in which there is sweet fellowship and oneness of spirit, like we have here at VVBC. Unified love. What a picture of Christ to present to the world. Are we getting the idea here? The real Jesus needs to be manifested to the world. The only way is by his body, living and loving and behaving in all ways exactly like Jesus. How? Within his body, obey the special ministry calling God has for you. It may be a spiritual gift that is your special ministry. It could be your unique talents or some life experiences or even extremely difficult hardships that you have endured that make you uniquely gifted to comfort those in similar circumstances. Whatever God bestows upon you for your special ministry, find it and exercise it to your fullest. Why should we obey our special ministry calling? Because we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. Jesus did not earn the wages of sin, but he sure has paid the wages for our sin. We are now his property and his alone. Why obey and perform our ministry? It is our master's will that we do so. And we love our master more than life itself, right? I sure hope we do. I want my life to count for Jesus. I want to cross that finish line with no energy left. Do you want your life to count for Jesus? God has called you to serve him in his body. God has equipped you to serve him in his body. God has given you at least one special ministry in his body. Obey the Lord. Not obey the Lord to get saved. No, obey the Lord because he is Lord and master of you, and you love him. Obey him in those ways you know he has convicted you. Maybe it is to get baptized, and you never have. Maybe to forgive someone who has hurt you. Maybe to take someone in off the streets. Maybe to change your vocation for him. You know what God is asking you to do. No more just sitting. Serve. No more just taking from the Lord. It's time to give back to him. No more only basking in his love. It's high time to love him back. It is time to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus, because the world is needing to once and for all, really and truly, see Jesus Christ. The application, the so what for ministry number two. Do it. Find your ministry within the body of Christ and do it with all your being. Set your face like a flint towards your special, specific ministry. And then watch the Lord do wonders through you and wonders through your church. We have already seen God do many amazing things here at Vail Valley Baptist Church. Just think what is in store for us and all who will run into us when we are all fulfilling our specific ministry callings right here. I can't wait to see the next miracle, the next answered prayer, the next inexplicable medical finding, the next mountain moved. And I can't wait to see Christ Jesus glorified and honored and manifested in our community and in this world. And of course, there are some of you right here that are obeying this ministry call. And God is glorified by your obedience. To you, I say again, do not grow weary in well-doing, but persevere in obeying your special ministry call within the body of Christ. But just thinking out loud, could it be that those I just mentioned are serving more than their calling? Because you are not serving at all? If you are not yet obeying your specific ministry call to service within the body of Christ, I urge you wholeheartedly, love Jesus. Keep his word. Live out your particular role within his body. Can we obey this ministry call in our own power or do it alone? Again, no. But again, we have the authority of Jesus over all things, empowering our obedience, and his continual presence enabling our obedience day by day, moment by moment, to your ministry call within the body of Christ. Through Jesus, we can obey this ministry calling, and only through Jesus. This morning, I've talked a lot about Christ Jesus. If you in particular, do not know Jesus to be your Lord and Master, then you are not saved. You still carry your own sin, and you alone will pay the wages for your sins, which is the wrath of God torturing you for all eternity. God is holy, and sin must be forever punished. But you can be saved. Jesus bore the eternal wrath of God for all the sins of all who believe in him when he suffered and died on that cross. That's why you can be saved. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. This can be you. In Jesus, you will find the peace, joy, meaning, and purpose that you seek. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Remember, the time is short. Surrender your life to Jesus today. Don't go out those doors without making your life right with God forevermore. We can help you take that step of faith in Christ. After this service, come talk to Pastor Jay or me or one of the elders or deacons. Don't leave as one lost and doomed. Please, come to Jesus. Friends, you and I have two ministry callings. obey the callings on your life, and prove your love for Christ. Go, join the Holy Spirit in the great and amazing co-mission of saving the lost. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. And go, find your special ministry calling in your local church body and perform it with all you are. And keep going. There is no retirement from loving Jesus. With God the Holy Spirit indwelling us, with all authority given unto Jesus, and with Jesus alongside us every step of the way, our obedience in our two ministries will grow the church from the outside and on the inside, and will manifest and magnify Christ to the world. In such a time as this, the world and the lost need Christ to be truly manifested and the true gospel proclaimed. Awake out of sleep. Take the first shaky steps of faith in obedience to the calls of Jesus. Go out on the limb for Christ. Folks, it's only out on the limb where the fruit grows. Roll up your sleeves for Jesus. Join the fray. Serve him. Christ Jesus left his glory to die for you and me. It's time for us to leave our comfort zone to live for him. Stand up for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us together rightly honor, magnify, and love Christ Jesus with every molecule of our lives, sacrificially serving him from this moment until our final day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, work a mighty work in us. Make us obedient servants. Give us a love for the lost and for you as we have never had before. Use us in your kingdom work. Show us how you want us to uniquely minister within your body and empower us to obey that call. And above all, be glorified and honored through our lives as we surrender them completely to you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.